Tuesday, August 4th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. And we had seven games yesterday. Everybody's feeling refreshed, rested?
Yeah. And we got the band back together here.
I know. First Al Scott Adam podcast in a while. And you got to really dig into the games.
Did you? Did you dig in?
I did, yeah. I dug
in. Dug in.
Brian McCann.
Fork and a knife.
Nelson Cruz. Who did you guys dig into?
Ezekiel Carrera.
Really?
Yeah.
If he takes away playing time from Roger Davis, I'm going to be so mad.
He makes more plays like that.
Oh, you said
I think he will. Oh,
yeah. Is that amazing? One of the best catches of the year.
Picked a good night to watch Tigers-Yankees.
Yeah.
So lots of great plays. Kinsler.
Oh, the Tigers' defense was tremendous last night. Brandon McCarthy had a very good start. He struck out eight batters in less than six innings. Pitch count was pretty high. Of course, Andrew McCutchen is on the DL. We'll talk about that. There is no Fantasy Baseball Today show, the video show, today or tomorrow. We have Fantasy Football Today instead, live at noon Eastern. And we will be back with Fantasy Baseball Today on Thursday and Friday. Guys, let's get to the big news. We'll take emails later at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Andrew McCutchen could be out 3 to 4 weeks with an oblique injury. Number two hitter in points, number six hitter in Roto. What do you think? Should we pick up Travis Snyder? Or do you think Pedro Alvarez goes back to third base and Harrison to the outfield?
Snyder's been getting more playing time than I would have expected lately. So the thing is, I feel like he's kind of an in-between guy that he's, well, it says here actually owned in 3% of leagues. So yeah, he does need to be owned in a lot more NL-only leagues. But once he's gone there, I'm not sure where I want to own Travis Snyder.
Matt Cain having surgery to remove bone chips from his elbow. He's out for the season. What do you think about him next year? Right now you're thinking 2015 rankings. Matt Cain.
I think he's – I like him for next year. I think the knowing he's been pitching with bone chips in his elbow explains a lot about maybe the way he underwhelmed this year, and then once that's corrected, we've seen some pitchers struggle to return from that. CC Sabathia stands out, but it seems like he had a host of other problems that went along with that. CJ Wilson came back from it last year and had a typical CJ Wilson season, so I think that's the norm for a pitcher coming back from this procedure. And Kane would probably be a top 30 or so option for me heading into 2015.
Did Vance Worley have that too?
He did. That's exactly what I was just thinking about, because I was also thinking Kane top 30, and then I remember Worley and how long it took him to to get back to form.
Well, I mean, just don't know the incentive of drafting Kane in the top 30, because do you guys think he has to have an amazing season to be top 15, I think.
No, I think he needs to have a season like his better seasons.
Yeah, but I just don't think he's that pitcher anymore. I think it's 2 years now of too many bad starts.
Well, 2 years ago, he had a slow start, but he finished really strong. Like, he and Cole Hamels were both similar that way 2 years ago. So that's why I don't know exactly where I had Kane coming ranked at this season, but probably just outside the top 20.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll end up being more like top 40 when I factor in all the newcomers. But the incentive is for a pitcher who's historically been top 20 going into the season to get him as a top 40 option. That's a discount. And I think there's a better chance than not he's the Matt Cain of old.
Masahiro Tanaka had no issues after throwing yesterday. Do you think it's a good time to buy Masahiro Tanaka, or do we want to see more?
Nah, actually, I'm pretty close to I'm to the point now where if there's somebody I really, really want to get on waivers, I'm okay with dropping him.
Really?
Dropping him.
He could be 3 weeks away.
Yeah, we waited all this time.
More like 4 weeks.
I was going to say, you're not reading what I'm reading, because it sounds like he's not going to be there for the full months of September.
I don't know. Yesterday I read late August, earliest for him.
All right. Well, I need to go back and trace, because it sounded to me like you were going to get maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of him at the end of the season. And yeah, those could be, you know, like four great starts you get from Tanaka. But to hold on to that, you know, if there's somebody ridiculous that got put onto waivers that could help you for 2 months.
Well, that's fair.
If there's somebody ridiculous, but that somebody ridiculous might be Tanaka for somebody else if you release him.
If you release him, you're saying goodbye to him. Because
I just think of what John Heyman said on the first segment of our show yesterday. because he had mentioned before, there's been pitchers who've pitched through minor tears in the UCL. It seems like a death sentence, so to speak, for that ligament. But one of the examples he used was Irvin Santana. And, you know, it was so long ago, I didn't even remember it. But, yeah, he's been great. That was back when he was still with the Angels that happened.
Right.
You know, and he's been fine since then. So if Tanaka can pick up where he left off like that, which is it still seems like kind of a long shot, but there's enough of a possibility for as good as he was that I'm holding out for those four starts at the end of the season.
It seemed that his splitter was his best pitch, his most important pitch at least, his strikeout pitch. And there was rumblings about the splitter causing the arm injury, and you just can't throw it as often as he does. That will be the number one thing that I look to see, is how often he's able to throw it and if he's going to be as good coming back from this ligament tear, if he comes back. So it's something to consider. The Cubs are calling up Javier Baez to play second base. He is shortstop eligible right now, will be second base eligible after five appearances there. Which brings us to tweet of the day number one. 10-team points league, Mark the King 502 asks, should I drop Jimmy Rollins for Javier Baez?
This is probably the toughest dilemma I could imagine, and I'm actually inclined to say no. But in a 12-team league, I would definitely say no, because Rollins is giving you steals, he's giving you power, and it's not clear to me that Baez is going to match that overall production. In a 10-team league, maybe Rollins is a little more replaceable, but I think I'll put Baez below the Rollins line even there.
I mean, to give Rollins his credit, I think he's still a top-four shortstop. He's had a really good year.
Yeah.
But so where do you guys rank Javier Baez? What do you expect from him? What kind of a player is he?
Well, after a mostly rough season at AAA, he got really hot towards the end. That's why he got called up. His batting average was up at .260, which when you consider where it was most of the year is more than respectable. It's quite the turnaround. And he was one of the elite prospects in baseball as a shortstop eligible player. There's not really many minor leaguers who offer as much power potential as he does. So I understand that's not really the choice here for Mark, who sent the tweet of the day. But if there's a way as a Jimmy Rollins owner you can have Javier Baez there in reserve, if he does take off here.
Put him at second, next to Rollins.
Well, yeah, I mean, second base is deeper.
We don't know who his second baseman is, though.
Yeah, we don't know. But
what if it were Jericho?
I would think most likely if you own Baez, you'd play him at shortstop because it's a weaker position.
Is he a big first of all, is he a big strikeout guy?
Yes.
Huge strikeout guy. And part of the improvement in the batting average has been that he actually has cut back on the strikeouts. So instead of, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but somewhere along the lines of 40% of his at-bats over the first couple of months of the season to July, where I think it was fewer than 30%. So dramatic improvement, but dramatic improvement from a really bad place. So I suspect that when he makes the transition to playing Major League Baseball against better pitchers, that you're going to see him strike out a whole lot.
So points leagues might want to avoid, depending on your rules.
Maybe, but again, the power potential
for
a shortstop eligible player is, I don't want to understate that. Ian Desmond strikes out a lot too, but you're still starting him every week.
Right. Okay, so would you rather have Javier Baez or J.J. Hardy?
I'd rather have Baez.
Baez, yeah.
Oh, so he's that high, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just taking the approach that not one hitting prospect. All right, just Springer's been the only good one this year, I think, unless I'm forgetting something.
Well, Polanco has not been quite as advertised, but those are the two hitters that when they got called up, I thought everybody should pursue. I put Baez in the same class.
What about Tavares? He's been terrible.
Okay, yeah, what about
him? And we treated him as a must-add.
Yeah. No, he's been
Alcantara has been
You can't count on anybody getting called up to like carry your team. But it happens often enough that it's worth taking the shot every time somebody with that much upside.
I took a shot.
It's the chance. We get what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's why we're saying don't drop Rollins for him. But
at
the same time,
drop Hardy for him.
if things break right for Bias, he's going to be better than Rollins.
Yeah.
He's going to be better than all but maybe the top four or five shortstops in a best-case scenario.
All right, then. Washington plays Nate McLouth on the DL, called up Steven Souza, an outfielder. Are we picking him up?
Just deeper leagues, just because of the playing time.
Right.
And considering how good the Nationals outfield is, you might be surprised at the playing time Souza does get, because it sounds like Matt Williams, I almost said Davey Johnson, is going to try to get him in a little bit of a rotation there, but not enough for most mixed leagues.
Email of the day, number one, is from Paul in Richmond, Virginia. You guys know how I love league disputes. 10-team mixed points league, the last place team at 4-14 dropped 8 players for free agents today. Nobody I'm really interested in. And made these two trades. Giving up Price and Verlander, getting Keuchel and Burley. Eek. And giving up Dickey, Carota, Morse, and Moss to get Jose Altuve. I think he's just frustrated and trying to overhaul his team, which is understandable. But I feel he's throwing off the competitive balance of the league, which peeves me. At 4-14, it's way too late to be doing this. Thoughts?
I don't think these trades are really... Well, the second one really isn't so bad for a 10-team league.
No, actually, the second one's probably a good trade. Getting Altuve and giving up...
Yeah, getting the best player.
Some replaceable parts. But giving up Price and Verlander for Keuchel and Burley doesn't seem right. And yeah. I just think 4-14 teams shouldn't be making trades. I think if you're eliminated from playoff contention, it's not a keeper league. You shouldn't make trades.
I disagree, because my worst team is an NL-only roto team. And I made a couple of trades recently because I still play. I want to finish as high as I can finish.
Yeah.
If I finish eighth or ninth in that league at this point, that's a victory. And I'm not going to, you shouldn't make trades like this. And I don't think you should be desperate and just, throwing stuff up on the wall and seeing what sticks. But I think everybody should be trading.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's. I think you kind of have to put yourself in the perspective of the average fantasy player, who I would assume most fantasy baseball owners have one league. This is your chance to play fantasy baseball this year.
Yeah,
it's easy for us when we're buried in the standings to just kind of give up on that league and focus on the ones we're good at. But this is his time to play, and it's been a disappointing season, but he wants to see it through it to the end, and I think that's admirable.
Okay, all right. I stand corrected. Thank you for shining the light. I do appreciate that. Monday standouts. What do you got?
Let's go with.
Should I just start the standouts typically? Since I'm ready.
Yeah, you're ready, and we're
the whole
not.
Thing is like, yeah.
Nelson Cruz, 0-for-4 yesterday. Last 21 games, he's batting .104 with 1 home run, 8 walks, 20 strikeouts, only 2 RBI. He has regressed to his career norms now. His slash line this season for Nelson Cruz, .259, .329, .513. So .259, .329, .513. His career, .267, 8 points higher, .328, 1 point lower, and .498, 15 points lower. So he's basically doing what he's always done, and just in a cold streak. But what do you guys think? Is that it, or is there something to be concerned about here with Cruz?
I don't think so. I mean, because just the automatic place that we go to with Cruz is the eventual injury. I have to admit that's a thought that crosses my mind, but there's, that's just basically making stuff up. Mm-hmm. and you use the appropriate word, I think. He regressed. Now, when you regress, it doesn't mean that you are as bad or as unlucky as you were good or lucky before. Usually what happens is you go just to your normal level, but it could just be an overcorrection. And without any evidence that there actually is a health issue here, I'm expecting typical Nelson Cruz numbers going forward.
Okay, now it's your turn.
All right. And I apologize, because I held up the podcast in service of thinking of a way to use a pun.
Okay.
and didn't come up quickly enough. So.
Wait, why is tonight different from all other nights, Al, as they say? Aren't you always looking for clever ways to use a pun?
Yeah, but I don't feel like I derail the show, in the process. But because I wanted to make some comment about the A's playing possum last night. And
was there a possum on the field?
There was a possum on the field. The rally possum.
Didn't know that.
Yes.
I got a question. because you called it a possum.
Yeah, and in the game recap, it was referred to both as a possum and an opossum.
Yeah, and I wondered, like, what's the difference?
I don't think there is a
difference. Yeah, I don't either.
I think they're interchangeable.
But I'm going to check on this
difference. But I couldn't think of
it. I don't think there is.
Even if it's just like a regional thing, like what they're called in different regions, I feel like there has to be some kind of difference.
Yeah, I think it's just different. I don't know. Maybe somebody can help us out with this one because I always just assumed they were just interchangeable. But all right, I'll talk about Chris Davis since I can't think of anybody from the Rays A's game to talk about. And I really am at a loss at what to do with Chris Davis because he just keeps striking out. He's costing me. I've tried to trade him, but can't get, and as you would expect, can't get fair value for him. And I do think the power is still there, but it doesn't really matter if he's not making contact. He's making contact too infrequently for the power to really mean anything. So I suppose the only thing I can really do at this point is to try to find a reasonable replacement and bench him, but particularly in deeper leagues, I've not really been able to do that.
Possums and opossums appear to be the same thing. It's a Southern United States term to take the O off.
Mm.
Although that term technically refers to Australian animals of the suborder Phalangeriformes or something like that.
So the more common spelling is with the O in front. If it's,
I don't think in America it is, or at least not in the South.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm...
I don't know.
There's a lot more to America than the South.
Well, who calls him an opossum? Nobody does.
No, sure.
You never say, we're out, we're playing opossum.
Do you pronounce the O? Is it like a silent O?
No,
it's just possum.
It's just off. All right, you had Chris Davis. I had Nelson Cruz. Which Oriole do you have as a standout?
Silent O. which or? No, I actually want to mention Yan Gomes here because... He homered again. He's done that 8 times in his last 37 games, 328 during that stretch. And I think with the way some catchers have, some of the mainstay catchers have underwhelmed this season, McCann and Willene Rosario, for most of this season, I've considered Yan Gomes a matchups play, but I think he's beyond that now. He's up to 15 home runs on the season. We usually see him as a roto type, but he's the 6th ranked catcher in head-to-head points leagues now. And this is the second straight year he's performed at this level on a per-game basis. So I think it's believable, and I think he needs to be starting even in one-catcher leagues, regardless of matchups.
Now let's talk about another catcher, Brian McCann. 1-for-4 with an RBI single against Detroit, but still just having a terrible year. 237 with a 292 on base, 370 slugging for McCann, 11 home runs, 1 home run since July 2nd. He's still the number 9 catcher in points leagues, but I believe that's because he has the 5th most at-bats, more at-bats than any catcher that ranks behind him right now in points leagues. McCann is the number 14 catcher in roto leagues. Here's a guy who has at least 20 home runs in 6 straight seasons, at least 18 home runs in 8 straight seasons. He has 11. We thought the ballpark would be a big boon for him. And I looked at the... I always want you to look at the... stats that I see on Baseball Reference, the ratios, just to make sure I'm not being an idiot. But it looks like, okay, his walk rate is lower, but he's putting the ball in play more, less ground balls, more line drives, but his home run per fly ball rate is very low, second lowest of his career, 6.4%. It's kind of like what we saw with Alex Rios, and I don't know what to make of that. So it's like he's not hitting more ground balls this year, like Cano or anything. His line drive rate's up, but it's just that home run to fly ball rate is so bad. Like, what do we make of that with McCann?
Well, that's why I've fallen in love with baseball heat maps, because it gives you a tool to address that. Because sometimes it's just a lot of balls that are falling on the warning track, and sometimes it's a hitter. I think David Wright would be an example. I'm trying to think of some others where there's just a real Evan Longoria where there's been a real loss of power this year. Where, you know, they're just not hitting the ball very far. And I haven't looked that up for McCann, so I could do it now while you discuss
other
things.
Yeah, do it now. Scott, what's your take on Brian McCann?
Well, when you say his line drive rate is up, of the three ways you can hit a ball, that's, well, I guess if you include pop-ups. That's four ways. But anyway, line drive rate, it yields the highest batting average normally. So when you say ground ball rate is down, does that mean the fly ball rate is up also? Is he hitting a lot of fly balls not very hard?
That I don't know, because I didn't see that on Baseball Reference.
Okay. Well, some
all
help
I saw
you
was
are
the ground ball to fly ball ratio, which is lower.
Okay. You know, I kind of think this is a continuation of a very gradual decline.
That's
for
what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not the same player anymore. And he's, 30, 31 now?
Very beginning of his career, he hit for average and power. And the average hasn't been there in a long time. It seems like it's taken another big step back this year, and he's 30 now. So it's a little worrisome for the future.
And I was inclined to just, based on the stats, make that assumption that it's part of decline. And now that I'm looking at the fly ball data, last year averaged 293 feet per fly ball. This year, 277. That's a big decline.
That is a big decline. What do you think? Rest of the season? Top eight?
Yeah, I'll buy that. I know we're not playing by ourselves, but I'm starting my own game.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the playing time alone and maybe some rebound.
And who else is there? I mean, Derek Norris is slow. Well, Gomes, I'm saying.
You like
if
him
you
better?
Listen to me talk about Gomes, yeah, I said I like him better than McCann.
You said that?
You know, I may have not actually said that, but I did throw McCann's name in there, I think within the context, it kind of was implied.
Okay. How about Stephen Vogt or McCann?
McCann, but that's mostly because I don't completely trust Vogt's playing time.
All right, I want to – Stephen Vogt or McCann?
Actually, I'll go Vogt for the versatility.
All right,
would you play him anywhere
just
other than
catcher?
All right, if he's catcher only, yeah, I'm going McCann.
I want to speed things up because I have a little surprise for you guys at some point.
Oh,
Garrett Richards, complete game shutout, 9 strikeouts. He had given up 4 runs in each of his last 2 starts. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yep, Studley.
Henry Mejia gave up a run. He's only allowed 3 earned runs since June 10th. Not worried, right?
Right.
No.
Injuries, news, and notes. David Phelps is on the DL with elbow tendonitis, and Michael Pineda could be back soon. There is some talk about him starting Friday. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That talk sounds like crazy talk.
Nick Swisher didn't start last night due to a strained wrist. Brett Laurie will play tonight. Wilson Ramos, paternity leave today. Michael Bourne began a rehab assignment, or he will begin one today. Eugenio Suarez left with a knee injury. He'll be reevaluated today. Mark Teixeira was out. He was lightheaded. Hopes to play today. Ezekiel Carrera, we talked about, started in center field. And Zach Putnam expected back
Friday.
Did
we do that on air?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that was off air. Because I really wanted to make a point about that. I wanted to slow you down here.
Detroit center fielder Ezekiel Carrera made an unbelievable catch last night. And I don't know if this was on air or off air, but either way, we didn't talk about everything we were going to talk about with him. So
yeah.
Will he take playing time away from Rajay Davis?
I think he will. Just great defense. I mean, we saw a great example of it last night. But he is a good defender, and I think that could be enough to set Davis's playing time back maybe almost to where it was before.
Well, that would be bad. Zach Putnam expected back Friday. Angel Pagan maybe this weekend. Originally it said Tuesday, and then you read this morning he could be back by the weekend. Maybe he'll be back today. But Alejandro Diaz left yesterday's game after fouling a pitch off his knee. Giovanni Soto expected back Friday. Mike Karp started at first base. J.P. Arencibia was sitting. I don't like it.
I do.
Arencibia, I am. Why?
I think Karp could be a sneaky performer as a starter. Sneaky good. Better than Arencibia.
Yeah, but Arencibia is catcher eligible.
Yeah.
Arencibia would be more fantasy relevant.
Maybe, but you're talking about a low level of relevance either way. I don't think Arencibia is somebody you really wanted on your fantasy team. You may have been forced to use him because there was nothing else good out there.
I think when you talk about a 12-team roto league with 2 catchers and you're talking about scrubs at number 2 catcher, like a guy who can hit 2 home runs a week, you know.
He's going to frustrate you.
He's not going to go on a 52 home run pace.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. Like, I think he is a viable number 2 catcher, Arencibia, but he's going to frustrate you badly at some point.
Oh, sure. I mean, his batting average is going to be terrible.
I'd rather have Zunino. I'd rather have Yasmani Grandal.
Well, Zunino's a no-brainer, I think, at this point. Yeah, Grandal is interesting. You'd rather have Grandal?
Yeah. I'd rather have...
I mean, honestly, I've been debating between like Robinson Chirinos, Wellington Castillo, Carlos Ruiz.
And I'd rather have Aaron Sibbia than all three of those guys.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not, okay. You know. No. Coco
not
Crisp,
me.
Pinch hit yesterday. All right, we talked to John Heyman yesterday about Tommy Malone and Nick Franklin. He said the Rays really like Nick Franklin. Will we see them soon?
So that's how they treat people they like? They send them to Durham? I don't know about Franklin, because I was talking to John. That was the first time I'd really, you know, heard any indication that maybe Franklin will be up soon. Malone, there have been several reports that he could pitch this week. The Twins sent Logan Darnell down, so they'll need somebody. And Malone and Trevor May appear to be the big top candidates there.
Doesn't it just make sense the Twins got Tommy Malone? Like, I didn't think about that until now, but isn't he just such a Twins pitcher?
He's too good to be a Twins pitcher, I think.
No, he fits the mold. He fits the mold. Pitch to contact guy, for sure.
What is Sam Fold's role in Oakland, Al? We were talking about this yesterday, and I forgot what you had said.
All right, well, I can remind you then. right now, he's the center fielder till Crisp is back. And then he's going to move into a platoon role in left field with Johnny Gomes. So he's gonna get his playing time.
All right, so Gomes will start against lefties.
Right.
Then what happens to Vogt?
That's why I think he had good reason to be a little worried about the playing time, because I think some combination of Vogt, Kiaspo, maybe Reddick, you know, those guys are going to sit. Norris, Jaso.
I think Brandon Moss, I mean, he's been so bad.
I wouldn't pass Bob Melvin to
sit. I hope that doesn't
Moss
happen.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Coco Crisp, by the way, could start tonight, so we'll see about Sam Vogt. I don't know who they're facing, which pitcher they're facing tonight. Three up, three down. Rotation. Tyler Flowers. All right, last 15 games, batting .458 with three home runs. Flowers or Aaron Sibbia?
Aaron Sibbia. Didn't Flowers do this at the beginning of the year, too?
Yeah,
he did. It was actually .389 in his first 16 games.
And then he was awful.
Yeah.
Lonnie Chisenhall homered. He's still batting .306. He has two home runs in his last four games. On June 9th, he hit three home runs in one game. Since then, Chisenhall is the number 26 first baseman in points leagues, number 36 in Roto, with a .221 batting average and four homers. So he's 79% owned. What do you guys think about Chizzy Boy?
I think this is a very good matchup for him against Alfredo Simon. And, you know, he'll make some righties pay. but particularly at home. But I still think he's sort of fringy.
Would you drop Chisenhall for Solarte?
I don't think I would. It's kind of a toss-up for me.
Yeah, Roto, I definitely want it. Solarte is eligible at shortstop, so that might factor into the decision. But if it doesn't, I'd rather have Chisenhall.
Would you drop Chisenhall for Gillespie?
No,
I wouldn't do that.
All right, three up, number three is Pablo Sandoval. He went 3-for-5 with two doubles, three RBI. Just thought I'd bring him up. Number 11, third baseman in points, number 13 in Roto, batting .348 over his last 22 games. Thoughts on Sandoval? 12 home runs this year.
He's been serviceable pretty much all season. Like, in the past, we've either seen a good Sandoval or a bad Sandoval. And lately, it seemed like more of the bad Sandoval. This is like, it's like he's finally achieved the middle ground here. And as long as he stays healthy, I'm not saying you're thrilled to start him at third base, but he's better than Chisenhall, and you'd be okay with it.
Three down. Todd Frazier went 0-for-5. And this is a guy like Nelson Cruz who now has a slash line that's almost identical to what he did in 2012 when he had a good year, except the slugging. It's now .463 when it was .498 in 2012. He had six triples that year in 128 games, has only one this year. But before last night when he went 0-for-5 with two strikeouts, he was batting .235 over his last 13 games, Todd Frazier, with no extra base hits and one steal. Do you guys worry that maybe no Phillips, no Votto, really no line? He's got Mesoraco hitting behind him, but do you think maybe that could be a factor here and could be a rough month for Frazier?
I think it's a good point. Yeah, it's not a great lineup right now, and might be just a little too much of the responsibility weighing on him.
So are we concerned about Frazier? Would you look to sell him?
No, maybe, like I was saying with Chris Davis, see if I can find somebody to replace him on a short-term basis, if I can stash Frazier.
I don't even know that I'd bench him personally. I just think he's at third base.
Too good?
Yeah, and I mean, so what if his last 13 games have been bad? It's just 13 games.
Yeah, well, I'll look at that because it seems like he's been cold for longer than that.
Especially cold. It's now 14 games. Yeah. I wasn't able to get the updated stats this morning, but excuse me. Leonis Martin, 57% owned, and really when you look at him, not even a top 50 outfielder, and just hasn't taken the next step. What do you make of this bad season for Martin?
Yeah, I'm not confident he will take the next step. This might be who he is.
Yeah, he could be a guy that's pretty dependent on where he hits in the order. He might have to score a lot of runs, right, to have fantasy value? That's kind of how I see it.
Oh, I would think so, yeah. That's why in March or whenever it was that Ron Washington said he was going to bat him the bottom of the order, I dropped him way down in my rankings at that point. The runs really matter for him.
Even as a leadoff hitter, though, I don't know. He just doesn't get on base enough. There's not enough plate discipline there. I don't think he's ever going to be like a big run scorer.
And it's a lesser lineup you know, in the middle now.
Yeah. Curtis Granderson went 0 for 4. Last 13 games for Granderson, 122 with a home run, 6 walks, 17 strikeouts, only one RBI. He's the number 29 outfielder in points leagues, number 45 in Roto. And Granderson, what do you do with him? Start him every week? Drop him, sit him every week. He's a polarizing player.
Yeah, he's the sort that not in a five outfielder league, in a three outfielder league, I stream him. If he's not going well, he's sitting on the bench.
He's a little Jay Bruceian to me, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to miss the week where he hits four homers or whatever.
Yeah, I think his upside isn't as great as Bruce's, and so, I fear sitting him less.
Yeah. All right, rotation time. Alex Cobb, not a good start, 4 walks. I think that was the third start this year in which he's had 4 walks. In his previous 2 starts, Cobb gave up 8 hits, 1 run, with 22 strikeouts, 2 walks, in 15 innings. So he was coming off 2 dominant outings, and he wasn't terrible. Alfredo Simon has been terrible since the All-Star break, 0-4 with a 5.06 ERA. And Tanner Roark had a rough start. It all unraveled for him in the 7th inning. When he ended up giving up 3 runs in the 7th to give him 5 on the night and 6 and a third after giving up just 4 earned runs combined over his last 4 starts. So with Cobb, Simon, and Roark, any concerns here?
Simon says, drop me.
You're at that point now?
Yeah.
Even as a SPARP?
Even as a SPARP.
Would you drop him for Jake McGee or Santiago Casilla?
McGee for sure. I think I would for Casilla too. Yeah.
Where are you on Simon? Scotty?
I don't think I could drop him as a SPARP, but I was also saying, just to see things from my perspective, I was also saying the same thing about Jesse Chavez right up until the very end. So maybe I'm a little more inclined to hold on to those types. Because the thing is, like, you can get a bad ERA, bad whip from your SPARP. SPARPs don't matter in points leagues, so you don't really care so much about the percentages. If he gives you couple 10-point starts in a week, that's better than what the average closer is going to do for you.
Yeah. All right, fringy starting pitchers. Dylan G had a good one. This is pretty good. Would like them to go one more third of an inning to get the quality start. and since the All-Star break, he's got a 6.85 ERA, but a strikeout per inning. Before the All-Star break, he had a 2.56 ERA, a really low whip, but not even close to a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, he had great control during that stretch, and then lately he's been giving up a lot of home runs. So this is encouraging.
71% owned. Kevin Gausman is 66% owned. This guy needs to start throwing his secondary pitches more if he wants to get strikeouts. Because he threw his four-seam fastball 76% of the time last night.
He doesn't have a lot of secondary pitches. That's kind of been the knock on him. And part of the reason he's been up and down and hasn't pitched deep into games in the minors. So, the lack of strikeouts to me is why. Look, he's another SPARP player, so you hold on to him just for that in points leagues. But And Roto, I'm not sure I'm that enthusiastic about owning him. Not that it's a problem to, but I feel like there's other options I'd rather have.
Then Brandon McCarthy, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 unearned run, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts against Detroit. Before that, 2.41 ERA in his last 6 starts, and on the year, 121 strikeouts in 140 innings and only 26 walks. So McCarthy, G, and Gausman are all owned in 64 to 71% of leagues. How would you rank them?
Gausman, and that's really hard between G and McCarthy because they're sort of trending in opposite directions for me. I'll go Gausman, G, McCarthy.
I will too.
Okay, then. You ready for your surprise?
Yes.
It's, you know what it is.
I do? Then it's not a surprise. That's
well, you can guess. Just guess what it is. Guess what we're about to do.
Fantasy well, Feud?
You got it.
Yeah.
I was going to say name that player, so I was in the right, in the right direction.
I forgot to print out the teams for you guys.
That's all right.
I apologize. Why don't you pull it up on your laptop and you guys can share so you can look at all
it's
the
nice
teams around baseball.
Are we going to share in a competition?
I'll even let you guys choose the categories if you'd like. Or do you want me to do it?
This is on the spot.
Yeah, on the spot.
Off the cuff. All right, let's do top 6 first basemen the last 28 days
points
in points league.
Okay.
Yeah.
Top
all right.
6 first basemen
there
last 28
go.
Days in points leagues.
I even just let you look at it.
Oh, wow.
I'm tying an arm.
I was confident.
The top 6 are on the board. Give me the best points leagues over the last 28 days.
Do I got to buzz in?
Yeah.
I'm buzzing in.
Scott.
Jose Abreu.
The number 2 answer, Jose Abreu.
I'm sorry. I'm so busy pulling up teams. I forgot.
First baseman in points leagues over the last 28 days. Top 6 answers are on the board. Abreu is number 2.
All right. Oh, boy. I'm in trouble here. Paul Goldschmidt, even with missing the last few games.
Paul Goldschmidt is just outside the top 12. So, Scott White, pass or play?
I'm going to play. I'm glad all you right. used that guess already. I don't want to have to guess him.
All
I'm
right,
going to go Lucas Duda.
Lucas Duda is number 6.
He's
number 5.
Okay. But he's on there.
He's on there.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good thing.
Got Abreu 2, Duda 6, Duda 5.
All right. So, another first baseman who's probably on there. I'm going to say Albert Pujols is on there.
Albert Pujols is ahead of Paul Goldschmidt, but behind number 6. So that is 1 strike for Scott White.
All right. I'm going to go Miguel Cabrera.
Show me Miguel Cabrera.
Really?
Number 7.
Oh, man.
Let's see how many fantasy points. 3.5 fantasy points behind number 6.
Oh, man. Now this is stressful. Last 28 days, first base.
Oh, I think I got one.
Do you guys want hints?
No.
Oh.
Oh, he's got to be up there. He's got to be.
Show me.
Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo, number 3 on the list. So we need 3 more. We need numbers 1, 4, and 6. We have Abreu, Rizzo, and Duda.
I am very confident I have one.
Oh, no. Pressure's on, Scott.
Oh, man. Why did
I'm pretty confident I know the one that Al has.
Because I'm missing number 1 still, right?
Yeah. All right.
Missing number 1.
Give me 10 seconds.
Oh, gee. I'm going to say
4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm going to go
-1.
I'm going to go with Mike Napoli.
You know Mike Napoli is not on
there. I know,
there.
But I ran out of time.
Nah, Mike Napoli is not on there. All right, the Melchior family has a chance to steal. Al, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Adam.
What do you do for a living, Al?
I'm a fantasy baseball analyst.
Oh, that must be a lot of fun.
For CBSSports.com. It's a great job.
Sure, you work with great people. All right, Al, the top 6 answers are on the board. Show me a top 6 first baseman over the last 28 days in points leagues.
Chris Carter.
That's the one I knew you were going to get. Number 4.
How
Chris
did you know
Carter.
That? I thought that was actually pretty improbable.
Because that's the light bulb went off guy. When you look at the teams and you say, oh, Chris Carter.
See, I looked at Houston and thought Jonathan Singleton.
I know. And, of course, you weren't going to get the number 1 answer. It's Carlos Santana.
That was my second on the short list.
And number 6 was Jose Bautista.
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yeah.
See, I looked at Cleveland and I'm like, who's Cleveland's first baseman? And I couldn't. I just kept thinking Jim Thome, and I knew that wasn't right.
Well, he did just sign with them.
Yeah.
For a day.
It's Jim Thome. Santana, Abreu, Rizzo, Carter, Duda, Bautista. What's your fantasy analysis, guys?
Lucas Duda is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason I knew that is because I was looking at him actually a lot longer than 28-day period. Going back to mid-May, I'm not sure the exact date, but I think it was in mid-May or late May, somewhere around there. He's been like a top six first baseman in both formats, and that's mostly sitting against left-handers.
Do you think you can keep that up sitting against left-handers at least occasionally?
It's a nine-week period it's gone on. Yeah. I know that much, so that's a long time. I think he's averaged 22.7 head-to-head points per week during that stretch, averaged.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, even among first basemen, that's good. So it's not like he's hitting for a crazy high batting average or something that would make it seem unsustainable to me. I just think finally he's in his comfort zone here at his natural position without Ike Davis there butting in. And this is who he could be.
And would you guys rather have Duda or Napoli?
Duda.
Duda?
Duda or Moss?
I'll still go Moss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's close, though. I'm going Moss.
All right, one more category here, then we'll read some emails. Show me the top six starting pitchers in Roto over the last 28 days. Top six answers are on the board.
Clayton Kershaw.
Number four answer, Clayton Kershaw.
Ah, so there's something higher. Last how many days?
Oh.
28 days.
20. Yeah, I can think of one that's higher.
Crap, you're going to do better with this than I am. I'm going to go David Price.
David Price is number eight. So Al Ooh. Melchior, the Melchior family, you're up 1-0. Pass
right,
or play?
So, yeah, I'll go ahead and play.
All right, why not?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Kershaw, number four. I need five more.
Corey Kluber.
Corey Kluber is the number one answer. Congratulations.
Thank you, yes.
Another good one yesterday.
All right, that one doesn't go to waste then. All right, now things get quieter. Let's go Garrett Richards.
Garrett Richards!
Yeah, so he had two bad starts before his last one.
No, he's top 10, I think. He's number 10.
28 days is a long time.
Yep.
For pitchers.
Yeah, we're talking about 35 to 40 innings.
All right, so we've got Kluber, we got
Hamels.
Shoot. Let's just take him off the board.
All right, now we're doing top seven or top five?
top right. Seven.
That's a good trick, though. I need to try to use that again in the future. Well, let's go Felix Hernandez.
I meant to say Kershaw instead of Hamels. We have Kluber, we have Kershaw. Do we have Felix Hernandez? We do not.
Oh,
at Felix Hernandez.
Oh, two strikes.
That was the one I had in the
top
pool.
15. Two strikes for Al Melchior. So now, all right, to recap, we're looking for the top seven starting pitchers in the last 20.
Oh, we are seven?
Well, because I gave you Hamels.
I got a dark horse guess here.
So we've got Kluber 1, Hamels 3, Kershaw 4.
Oh, I got a couple of dark horse guesses. I'm not sure which to pick now.
Yeah, I know. I'm struggling, too, because a couple of names I'm thinking of. All
You've
right.
got 10 seconds.
Yeah, this is so entertaining for people to hear me hem and haw. Alex Wood.
Alex Wood.
All right.
All right, the White family.
All right. Which one should I go with? I'm going to go.
Can you just say out loud the two that you're thinking, and then you can say which one you're going
to
guess?
This is like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire loud thing.
Uh-huh.
Thinking between Jake Arrieta and Rick Porcello.
Okay.
Is one of them on there?
Let's find out.
I am actually going to say Rick Porcello.
Congratulations! Yeah! Al Melchior, no! You won!
I was going to go Arrieta out of those
Boo.
Two. And Matt Garza on there.
Neither are on there. It's Kluber, DeGrom.
Oh!
Hamels, Kershaw, Sonny Gray, Tyson Ross, Tanner Roark, and then David
Price.
Oh,
shame on me.
How about Mr. Jacob deGrom, number two over the last 28 days?
Yeah, I think I have to stop looking at the matchups and looking for excuses and just accept that every Mets starter that gets called up outperforms his minor league numbers. It happens every time.
Except for Rafael Montero.
Except for him.
Except him.
Yeah, well, they obviously PCL, so they come and play in a much better park, probably.
Yep.
Emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com from Kevin. Once Edwin Encarnacion is back, I have to make a decision. Do I drop Duda, JD Martinez, or Beltran? That is a tough decision.
Beltran. Yeah, I don't think it's that tough.
It's not right now, but if Beltran keeps playing the way he's playing, it'll be tough. Genesis from Anaheim says, "Dear Leslie Bernadette and Amy Farrah Fowler." The hell is that?
No clue.
Those are all female characters from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh. Yeah. I traded Strasburg for Adam LaRoche today in an 11-team roto league. Contextual extra credit. I have Hamels, Tehran, Iwakuma, and Kennedy. I lost Springer and Tulo. The team that took Strasburg is not in contention. I'm in first. The team I traded with is close enough to the teams in second and third in pitching stats, so this trade could hurt them in the standings. I'm also just below the team I traded with in RBIs and home runs. That's interesting. So you've made a bad trade on the surface, but in doing so, you've strengthened a guy who can overtake your closest competitors in a couple of categories and who could now fall behind you in RBIs and homers.
You know, I thought there is no amount of contextual extra credit that can make up for this. That's pretty compelling. I mean, he's got a good front four to go with still. He hasn't really hurt himself. I still think he could have gotten better return.
Yeah, it's like what did he say no to before you settle on LaRoche, you know? That's what I can't help but wonder.
I want to know, Genesis, I want you to email us later in 7 or 8 weeks and let us know how it's working out, because this is an interesting strategy.
You know, I was in a situation in a roto league with a bunch of analysts from all over the internet, one of those kinds of leagues, and I was in first place until about mid-August, and I finished in second. The other guy finished in first, and that guy, maybe end of July, early August, he made a series of trades that all of them to me looked bad. And I was like, wow, this guy's giving me the championship. And then over the last 6 weeks, he passed me and then some. It wasn't that close between first and second at the end of the year. So I was, I didn't break it down enough to really know exactly how that worked, but I think he tried something similar and it worked for him.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kobe says, I've got a surplus of outfielders, Markakis, Cargo, Braun, Polanco, Hamilton, wish I knew which one, Springer, and Bautista, and second base shortstop has been filled with the likes of Jerko and Hardy. I was offered Hanley Ramirez for Jose Bautista. Should I accept this? He still has Markakis, Cargo, Braun, Polanco, Hamilton, and Springer.
I don't really like it that much because I think Bautista is a lot better. Well, I guess Braun is pretty close.
I don't know about that.
I don't think I'd do it. I worry about Hanley getting hurt.
From Henry, dear Judge, Sean, and Phoebe.
Oh, this is kind of like a follow-up because I made the Judge Reinhold pun.
Yeah, do you know who these are?
Yeah. Who? They're actors from Fast Times at
Ridgemont
High.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Thanks for the immediate fantasy baseball impact from the trades made at the deadline. Oh, never mind. For us keeper or dynasty leaguers, can you look at deeper into your crystal balls and answer the following? Henry, sorry I butchered your question. if you could stash one of the young Red Sox pitchers for a long-term league, who would it be and why?
Henry Owens. I think he's the best.
You were very quick with that.
Since the Dodgers did not move an outfielder, when would you expect to see Jack Peterson called up? Do you expect him to be a starter in April 2015?
Definitely yes to the second question. Be honest, I thought he might be up by now, but I'll say by the end of this month.
And Jeremy in California is in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. I have to drop Beltran, Duda, or Belt for Springer. Who should he drop?
Well, I hate to keep picking on Beltran, but I do think the upside's a little higher for Belt, and I want to give him a chance to capitalize on that upside Well, Beltran, I'd be okay letting him go.
I'm going with Beltran minus the Ran.
So you're going with Belt?
Belt, yeah.
Okay. Ran away with that one. Al Melchior, Scott White, thank you very much. Thank you all for listening. See you later.